1.8 things, and we had Deidre from SLAM earlier in the year, and then Verona from Save a Life was also here, and then next month, Brother Teddy will be here from Grace, and tonight we're honored to have representatives from RAM, and several of you have asked me what RAM is. RAM stands for Romanian American Missions, and tonight these guys are going to kind of go over it with you. First of all, we have from Romania, we have Christy Chivu, okay, I got that right. It's C-H-I-V-U, but I knew I would mess it up. Dr. Jackson is going to introduce him. But I want to just introduce Dr. Jackson real quick. And I know against some of your probably better judgment and wishes, about to be 42, Dad's by far had the biggest impact on my life when it comes to theology and ministry and stuff like that. And because he got to be around me for the last 42 years. But Dr. Jackson is probably getting to be where he's second in my life in that regard. I had a class in seminary where we had to have a mentor, and I asked him, never thought he'd have the time to do it. And so for 12, 14, 16 weeks, I can't remember what it was, he had to meet with me an hour a week and just got to pour into me, and it was a very good thing. And even still today, he probably regrets it because he gets at least one text a week on saying, hey, what do I do here? And or how do I handle this situation? Or what do you think about Genesis 4 or something? And he always responds, and he pastors a church of over 1,200 people. So I know he's busy, but he always has time for me. And that's what he always tells me. I'm never too busy to take time to help you out. So he doesn't know how special he is to me. Lori could probably tell him because I talk about him all the time, but he's always helping me out. He is, his father was in the ministry as well. He can relate to me because he served with his father. I actually hired him on staff. But he's going to come and explain RAM for a little bit, introduce our special guest speaker, who, by the way, is a persecuted Christian that we've been talking about. And then at the end, Dr. Jackson's going to come back and field questions about RAM. But also, let me tell you, he's knowledgeable on IMB. So if you want to ask IMB questions, this would be the guy. He even has inside knowledge on who, you know, might be, you know, all that stuff. And also, he's the guy, several of you have asked, Jason asked this morning about this. He's the guy who I'll be going to Israel with, hopefully either this year or next year. And so some of you have asked about an Israel trip. And he leads them with RAM, and I'm going to hopefully go with him. And he got a call from me when I was in Asia during my downtime. And he says, let me tell you something about foreign missions. Never go on a trip, on a foreign mission trip with somebody you don't know. And I said, duly noted, next time I'm going with you. So when I go to Israel, it'll be with him. So I just want to introduce Dr. Jackson. He's the pastor of Central Baptist Church. Many of you already know him.
Thank you, Joe David. I only knew him as Joe. And then all of a sudden, I was around all y'all called him Joe David. And I said, okay. But Joe was a great student. Loves the Lord, as you know. And you are so blessed to have him as your pastor and his dad, known as dad. And what a blessing you have, and what a wonderful legacy you have. My dad is a pastor. He's gone to be with the Lord, but I served as his associate pastor, as you did. So he mentored me and brought me along. And then I went to Central Baptist Church, pastored there. Dad left Buck Run and went to a church in Mississippi, started a church. And then he came back in his last 4 years of his life. He served as my associate pastor, and what a wonderful time we had together. And so I miss my dad greatly, so enjoy those times, Joe. Let me just share a little bit about RAM, how it got started. When my dad was a boy, some of you might remember that song. There was a song, Far Away Places with Strange Sounding Names. Y'all remember that song? It was a long, long time ago, and Dad heard that song and as a youngster, and he said, wow, God one day wants me to invest overseas. He didn't know how. And as he prayed, the more he prayed about it, he was a Boy Scout, Eagle Scout, and they were in their jamboree, I believe, in New York City, and he felt God saying, one day you're going to invest in Romania. And we didn't know how we'd invest in Romania because it was communism. But then when we were at First Baptist Monroeville, Alabama, when I was a boy, Dad was pastor there, there was a lady who defected from Romania, Aprilia. And Aprilia defected from Romania and landed in Monroeville, Alabama. And Dad went, led her to faith in Jesus Christ, We baptized her in the church, and Dad said, this is confirmation. One day, we will work for God in Romania. This is just the first fruits of that. And Aprilia told Dad this interesting story. After the Soviet Union came in, really took over Romania, and communism came in, it was a bad time there. Her daddy, every morning, would wake up and look to the west, go out to the window and raise a blind and say, Mama, Mama, are the Americans coming yet? Are the Americans coming yet? She said, not today. He said, well, maybe tomorrow. And then even later in his life, when his eyes were weak, he'd go over there, are the Americans coming to rescue yet? No, they're not. You see, his eyes were on the wrong thing. His eyes were on the U.S. military to come and to rescue. But what happened is when the Iron Curtain fell, Jesus Christ came to the rescue. And lives such as Christy Kivu heard the gospel and his life was changed. And Simona, his wife, who went through terrible persecution, God led them together. And it was a few years after the Iron Curtain fell. We were over in Romania and we met Christy Kivu, Dad, and I met Christy Kivu, fell in love with Christy, fell in love with Simona. And Christy came over to the United States. He got his PhD from Southern Seminary. And then Christy went back. He's international coordinator for Romanian American Missionary. And as we've expanded, and he'll talk a little bit about that, I needed some boots on the ground because Dad was running Romanian American Missions when 6 years ago he had a massive heart attack. All of a sudden I realized, wow, wait a second. I teach as an adjunct professor. I'm pastor of Central, and I need to also be president of Romanian American Mission, so I needed help on the field. And so God orchestrated for Christy and Simone to come here. They're headquartered in Decatur, Alabama, travel back and forth. That's a little bit overview before he comes, but the one thing I want you to see from Christy, he loves Christ. He's given his entire life. He's an engineer by trade. He could have made a lot more money doing other things. But God called him to give his life, he and Simona, for Jesus Christ. And I thank you. I thank you as a congregation, brothers and sisters in Christ, that you're listening tonight. And I pray that you would hear God and say, wow, the fields are white into harvest in Romania and all over Europe, but the laborers are few. So may we be a part of being of that labor. Christy, would you come up here now?
Okay, good evening to all of you. It's a great pleasure for me to be here tonight. Great pleasure to speak about the gospel, about what God is doing with his church here in the United States and over in Europe, what he has been doing and what he keeps on doing. So I always like these opportunities because it goes back to where we should be always going back to the gospel. I remember a minister once said that we do not understand the gospel until we understand it as being a missionary gospel. And the gospel is a missionary gospel because our God is a missionary God. You know, he sent his son Jesus to live amongst us, and as we all know from the Word of God, he loved on us, he ministered to us in so many ways, and then he went to the cross, he died, he rose from the dead, and right before he ascended back to his Father, he gave us the greatest mission that was ever given to man, to go and make disciples of all nations. The great commission of Christ, that's how we call it. It's recorded in Matthew 28. We all know it by heart. And sadly, when we look at what most of the churches are doing, we realize that his great commission has become the great omission for too many of us Christians. I wonder how many of us in our churches today keep hearing Christ saying to us over and over again, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Take up your cross and follow me. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And on we could go. And by the way, the PowerPoint could go as well. It keeps lagging. I don't know why those things are not going with what I have to say. But we've seen it in our part of the world, and I know you've seen it here, that the gospel, Christ's gospel, is the answer to all our problems, no matter how hard it is for us. You've heard that I'm from Romania, and at the end of the Second World War, our country fell under communism. And when they came to power in Romania, the communists took everything away from the people. It's really hard to understand unless you live in that context. They took away properties, they took away rights, they took away freedoms. And I've seen that in an article in the Wall Street Journal published November last year. It's a beautifully written article about communism because it describes it as much as you can describe it in on a few pages really well. But in that article, the author was pointing to the fact that in over 100 years since 1917, communism claimed at least 65 million people's lives. And he kept saying, among their tools of destruction, they used mass deportations, forced labor camps, police state terror. They were atheists to the core. They hated Christ and they hated the Christians. And like a wildfire, they spread and they tried to destroy in their path everything that was godly in the people's lives. They tried to remove God from everything in that society. And it has become, during those years, 45 years of communism in my country, a common picture to see church buildings being bulldozed down just like that, what you see in this picture. And then Christians were persecuted, they were imprisoned, they were killed as they were faithful to the Lord. Until I was 24, I grew up in a non-Christian family. But my wife, as you heard from Brother Rob, she grew up in a Christian home. Her parents were very strong believers, and they were, because of their faith, they saw and they experienced firsthand the communist evil as they went with their daily lives. Her father was a medical doctor, and he was sharing the gospel with all of his patients. And when the communists found out about that, they immediately took action, and they no longer allowed him to practice in the large city where they were living. So they pretty much sent him to an isolated poor village, and he had to rely on a small garden behind his office to feed his family back at home. Her parents were very good friends with a family that was severely persecuted because of their faith, and you may have heard of Richard and Sabina Wurbrand. That's their picture. Richard and Sabina were Jewish. They were born in Romania. When Richard grew up as a teenager, he ended up flirting with communism. But somebody gave him a New Testament, and as he began to read it, he saw how different the Christian lifestyle was from the communist lifestyle, and he soon realized that all the promises that the communists were making for equality among all people were just a big lie, because God was not there in all of that. So he became a Christian. He ended up becoming a pastor. He served as a Lutheran pastor. And because of his faithful witness, he was severely persecuted. He was imprisoned for 14 years. More than three of those 14 years that he spent in prison, he spent them in what the communists called the death cells. Those were cells that were dug deep underground, at least 35 feet deep underground. And what the communists considered to be their most vicious enemies were put in those cells. You were completely isolated from life. You couldn't see the light, you couldn't hear a sound, you couldn't see a face, you couldn't do anything. And I remember Richard Vrombrang, who was a very smart man, he had a lot of the scripture memorized, saying how he began to forget the scriptures that he knew. And then he ended up only remembering the Lord's Prayer, and he kept praying it over and over again. And then one day, as he was praying the Lord's Prayer, he stopped in the middle of it and he realized that he forgot the latter part of it. And then soon after, he said he forgot it all. And as he was lying on that cold, rocky floor, he could barely breathe in and out. And he said his prayer was simply saying, "Jesus, Jesus," hoping that he was still be alive when his term would be ending. They called those cells the death cells because almost nobody who was imprisoned in them would come out alive. But God had different plans for Richard. He preserved his life. He came out alive. His wife's life was spared as she was sent to a hard labor camp, and she was heavily persecuted there. And they eventually ended up being bought out by the Norwegian government, and then they came here to the United States. In 1970s, they testified before the U.S. Congress about what was going on in terms of communist persecution behind the Iron Curtain. That's his picture when he came out of prison. And his most well-known book is Torture for Christ. And those of you who do not know, on March the 5th, the Torture for Christ movie, which is going to be released by the Voice of the Martyrs, Richard and Sabina Vorbrand founded the Voice of the Martyrs organization, is going to play in theaters nationwide if a minimum number of tickets will be purchased online by February the 26th. And I want you to see the trailer for this movie.
In August 1944, Soviet Russians took Romania, spoils of the Second World War. The communists declared atheism the official state religion. One man dared to speak out against it.
Scuzați-mă, aș dori să iau cuvântul. Comunismul i-a transformat pe frații noștri în martiri. Ajunge! Iisus a fost batjocurit de cei care îl sprijinau.
He would pay a steep price. He would spend 14 years in a communist prison. Voice of the Martyrs comes the dramatic testimony of Pastor Richard Vrombrand, as told in the international bestseller, Tortured for Christ.
I encourage you either to read the book, you can order it for free from their website, Voice of the Martyrs website, or to go watch this movie. It's going to encourage you to be faithful no matter what comes your way in this short life that we have to live on this earth. But after 45 years of communism, finally the Romanians stood up against that system in December 1989. I was a student at that time, and I remember what was going on the streets. There is over 2 million people got on the streets of Bucharest, Romania, to overthrow the communist dictator. And finally, Romania became a free country. After a bloody revolution, they claimed the lives of several thousands of people, most of them very young. And I'm here today, and I'm here in the gospel ministry primarily because God sent two ministers from the United States to minister to my life. The first one was Josh McDowell, who came right after this bloody revolution that took place in Romania. He came to two of the largest cities, Timișoara in the western part and then Bucharest, where I was, and he preached the gospel to large numbers of people. And God drew me, took me to one of those rallies in Bucharest. That's when I heard the gospel for the first time. That's when I became a Christian, March 1990. That's when God radically changed my life. And soon after, he called me from being an electrical engineering to serving into the ministry. And when I began to serve with the Baptist Union of Romania in their missions department, that's when I met the second man whom God used mightily to impact my life, and that was Brother Rob's dad, Dr. Bob Jackson, who was the pastor of Buckram Baptist Church in Frankfort, Kentucky at that time. And in 1994, he brought a small mission team from his church to Romania to work with us. They ended up planting seven churches, and they came back so fired up. And 2 years later, challenged by the Baptist Union of Romania, Bob Jackson started Romanian American Mission, which is the mission organization that I'm serving with right now. The mission organization is trying to reach Europe, to advance God's kingdom in that part of the world, and to make disciples that would result in new church plants. These 22 years from 1996, actually, when the organization was started, till today, are basically the story of God's grace, the story of what God has done and is doing with his church in America and the church in Europe that is trying to be faithful on obeying and fulfilling the Great Commission. And as a pastor, Brother Bob served as a senior pastor, I believe 52 years, Rob, isn't that? As a pastor, Brother Bob understood the central role of the church in God's kingdom work, and he came up with this idea, which is unique among so many mission organizations, to work with and through strategic churches. And that is what RAM is doing. It's not just a group of people or groups of people going over to Europe trying to do whatever. It's churches working together with churches in order to evangelize and plant more churches. The strategic churches that RAM is working with in Europe are strong, growing missionary congregations with strong godly leadership that pretty much agree to work together in partnership with churches from the United States in a context of very serious supervision of accountability. There is strong spiritual accountability. The pastors of the strategic churches are supervising the work of the missionaries that we're supporting and working with. There is a strong financial accountability. We went through a long process to be accepted by the Evangelical Council of Financial Accountability, ECFA, which is like the IRS of the evangelicals, so that everybody knows that all the funds are being used totally for kingdom work. And RAM is trying to impact Europe with the gospel through mission trips. There are short-term mission trips available even this year to Romania, to Spain, to Italy. Then through missionary support, currently we're supporting over 50 pastors and missionaries on the field who are doing the work of the gospel on an ongoing basis. Then through missionary training, we have either conferences or we have Bible colleges or short-term type of training sessions that we offer to the missionaries that we work there. And we are doing all of that to see new churches being planted. When the work began, it began in Romania, and you see the map of Romania, you see Moldova and Ukraine to the right, Hungary, Serbia, Bulgaria to the west and the south, and the Black Sea there. That's where the work started, and more and more churches came to work with us. We're currently having 9 strategic churches in Romania and 1 strategic church in Moldova. All of these churches, they have a good number of mission points or new church plants that they are supervising. And of course, they send out missionaries, and most of these missionaries, those that are being recommended to us, we are supporting there. So, but in 1997, in January, something interesting happened. Until that time, the Romanians were not allowed to travel freely to Western Europe. And that situation changed. Romania became a part of the European Union. And when that happened, the Romanians were able to travel freely and to look for jobs. And over 4 million have left the country in a very short period of time, moving to Western European countries, among them many Christians, many believers. And as they settled in these new places, they began to look for churches. And guess what? In most of those countries, they couldn't find churches because Western Europe has become so secularized. So they decided to start new churches. And that's how God began to grow the work from Europe, which initially started in Romania and Moldova, to grow it toward Western Europe. And then we were contacted by churches in several Western European countries. This is a picture of the RAM pastors and missionaries when Brother Rob was there to lead a time of training and a retreat for them, for the pastors and their wives. But churches from Italy began to contact us, and we began to send teams, and partnerships began to be formed. You see here a group of Romanians leading worship at a baptismal service in Pisa. A mission team from, and Brother Rob is in that picture, in Firenze and Florence, Italy, a baptism that took place as the team was there. One of the teams that we sent began to do outreach through sports, mainly soccer, because that's what they love over there. And you see a group of young people that were reached with the gospel through sport events. And here we have one of our Romanian pastors, lead pastors in Romania, Daniel Fodoran, training missionaries in Firenze. And then a great work is going on in Austria. The work started in Krems. You see the church building. You need to realize that these are all Romanian works in Western Europe. And to understand the situation there, for example, in Austria, there are only 1,400 Baptists, not Baptist churches. People, Christian Baptists. Out of those 1,400, more than half of them are Romanians who moved from Romania to work in Austria. The church, the evangelical church in Austria and in a lot of these Western European countries is so weak. A lot of times when the Romanians who endure persecution under communism, who had it so hard, when they come and they come fired up for the gospel, they start new churches. They're being used by God to encourage the locals, in this case the Austrians, to go out with the gospel again as they were doing years and years ago. That thing is stuck again, I see. There is this Romanian church. They started the work there, and they were ministering primarily to the Romanians until Brother Bob Jackson went there, and he preached one of his famous sermons, Big Oaks Out of Little Acorns Grow. And I remember I interpreted for him, and I could see how those church members' eyes were open to the fact that they could actually take the gospel not only to the Romanians but to the Austrians as well. And as they began to do that, they began seeing Austrians coming to the Lord. And you see here the pastor of the church baptizing one of them, and the church has grown. And now the pastor is leading a church plant effort among the Austrians. They're ready to plant two more churches there as we speak. And then there is another great work going on in Spain. In Spain, our strategic church is located in Valencia, beautiful city. You find very beautiful old church buildings there. But again, the evangelical work is very weak. And so the Romanians that moved there came together with a Spanish Baptist church, and they formed a very unusual congregation. It's a Spanish-Romanian congregation. There are two congregations in one. They have a Spanish-speaking service, a Romanian-speaking service. They have a Spanish pastor and a Romanian pastor, but the two are one. They're one church, and they work together to reach out to the locals as well as to the Eastern Europeans as they labor with the gospel. And they're very creative in their outreach. This is a picture of a mission team actually out of Central Baptist Church in Valencia. They were worshiping together with the Romanians and the Spanish there. They're using sports again big time to take the gospel out to the lost. And you see the youth there gathered, and in this situation, this mission team from the U.S. was teaching them some things about American football, and they utilized all kinds of games. They did VBS, but they this church is unusual because they went so far outside their city, and they reached out to folks that nobody was caring about. And when the mayor saw what they were doing, they actually came and they financed a very nice sports field for them to be able to do that ministry, to carry it. That's a picture from one of their VBSs, and look at those kids gathered to hear the gospel. It's just a wonderful, wonderful work. And as they're pushing with the gospel like that, they began to plant more and more churches in Valencia and outside of Valencia, and we are really blessed to be partnered with them. This is the mission team from Central Baptist doing street evangelism as they were there. Then a great work is going on in the United Kingdom, and we have a strategic church in Birmingham, UK. You can see the pastor of this church. His name is Daniel Bura. He's a Romanian. He moved there to pastor a Romanian church, and that Romanian church kind of did a similar thing with what the Romanian church in Valencia did. They joined hands in the ministry with a British congregation, and very soon they became one church. Not long ago, actually a few months ago, the pastor of the British church retired, and the British congregation asked the Romanian pastor Daniel to become their pastor as well. It is absolutely amazing what God is doing with this congregation in Birmingham, Emmaus Baptist Church. They've grown so much in such a short period of time, and they started to plant churches like no other church in their area. In the last 3 years, this church planted 9 new churches. And you see the new church plant in Coventry with a core group there. And November 2017, there's the picture from their opening service in their newest church plant in Northampton. And they have in plan to plant 20 churches altogether, new churches, including this nine that they have already planted by 2020. And we're really privileged to be alongside them and encourage them and send mission teams to them and push with the gospel in that part of the world, which is so, so secularized. Great Britain, which during the Reformation, we had a very different story there. Several ways on how anybody here in the U.S. can be involved. First of all, you can pray for this mission efforts that Romanian American Mission is implementing in Europe. I am glad to see more and more churches from the U.S. going back to help Europe reclaim their land and their people back to Christ, because the Christian faith came to the United States from Europe. And it's a beautiful picture to see how this partnership, you know, and help in the gospel goes both ways. But you can definitely pray, and we would love for you to pray for us and for this mission work. You can go on a mission trip to Europe. And like I said, there are mission trips this year to Romania and Spain and Italy so far. You can support the ministry vision, mission pastors and the new church plants on the field, or if you are part of the church leadership, you can go and be involved in equipping pastors and missionaries there. You know, our time on this earth is so short, and as we think of that, and as we know the needs that we face every day are so great, as we see that this world is growing darker and darker, we always need to remind ourselves that the one who lives in us is greater than the one who is in the world. But we also need to remind ourselves that as the darkness seems to grow deeper and deeper, we shouldn't be on the defensive. We should be on the offensive with the gospel, here at home and all the way to the ends of the earth. I was reading in a Christian magazine and I found these words spoken by Trevin Wax, who is one of the young leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention. And he was saying, and I quote him, "When we think everything is going bad around us, we take an overly defensive posture and thus make bad decisions. We settle for maintenance in our churches rather than mission. We develop a huddle mentality, merely looking to ride out the storm. We are to be moving forward in mission, no matter the cultural weather," he said, and I close the quote. And the implications are huge for all of us, for the way we spend our time, the way we spend our resources, the way we spend our lives every day, because one day we will give an account before our Lord if we lived our lives obeying Him, obeying His commandments, if we lived or not a Great Commission lifestyle. It is our time to wake up as churches today and remember that this earth is not our home. It is the time to remember what Paul said to the Christians in Philippi, and when he was writing these words, he was writing them from a prison. He said in chapter 3, verse 20, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Thank you, and God bless you, and I hope that you were encouraged by what you were able to see and hear from me in this brief time of sharing about what God is doing in and through Romanian American Mission.
Thank you, Christy. Thank you so much. Let me just Let me say just a few words. This is first, most of you heard of RAM. Why RAM? Because of the efficiency. 13 strategic churches. We have planted over 400 churches. Now, I'm not, when some people, when they talk about planting churches, and I'm an IMB, was an IMB trustee, and I know sometimes we, as Southern Baptists, and it's great, but we'll call planting a church a little coffee shop that has a few people meeting. And I understand that terminology, but for the Europeans, that is not a church. They consider that a Bible study. There are Bible studies all over the place. When I'm talking about strategic churches, I'm talking about churches that are vibrant. You saw the church in Daniel in the UK 5 years ago, 5 or 4 years ago, 4 years ago, I'm sorry, just he and his wife. And you saw just that church, how many people. Then you incorporate the British church in there. And then all the churches there, the gospel's exploding right now in Europe. Europe is so hungry. So why? Because God is blessing RAM. My daddy said, we have a shoestring budget. Our entire budget wouldn't even support three most missionaries, the most mission organizations, three missionary families. That's our whole budget. It's not about the amount of money. It's about what God is doing through that. So why RAM? The thing is, why Europe? I've been to places, as some of you have, that are very, very poor, and it's really tough. I mean, I've been very sick in the jungles of Venezuela. I was in Africa 2 years ago, and I got a parasite, and I was so sick, I thought I was dying. And I love going to those places. But here's what I realized. When my daughter went last spring to Haiti, it was wonderful ministering to them. When I've been to some of the Latin American countries or African countries, it's wonderful. When I went to Indonesia, it's wonderful. But those, we're filling in those and we're meeting those people. But you reach Europe, and the people can therefore send out missionaries around the world. So I'm looking at 2 Timothy 2:2. The things you've heard from me in front of many witnesses, and trust to reliable or faithful men who will be able to teach others also. When God reaches Europe once again, it can be a mighty force of people, some with the resources to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Why RAM? We don't keep your money. I mean, none of the officers, we don't draw a penny. Everything that you see doing through RAM, we ship to the missionaries, high accountability. We don't pay for rent. Central Baptist lets us have rent. Before that, we were Buckrun. Before that, Brandon, Mississippi. We don't pay for the equipment. Central uses equipment. We don't pay for electricity. Central Baptist pays the electricity. We don't pay for the phone lines. That's Central Baptist Church pays for the phone lines. We have almost no overhead. And so what you give is going directly to the mission force. Now, there's nothing wrong with mission organizations paying their presence and all that. I think that's wonderful. But that's just not who we are as RAM. Our goal is to reach this world for Jesus Christ. And if I were taking some for myself, even a penny for myself, when I go on mission trips, RAM doesn't pay for it. I pay for mission trips. When I go to, we've got a meeting coming in March. When I go down to the March, you need to come with us, Joe David. We're going to be down at the beach for a meeting. When I go down to the meeting down there and meet in First Baptist Foley, I pay for my hotel. I pay for my gas. So when you give, you're giving to further the gospel with very little overhead. Why RAM? As I think about it, I think of the Antioch principle. The church in Antioch started churches. And where did Paul start churches? Strategic locations. And I think of that. Doesn't God once again wants to plant churches at strategic locations to disseminate the gospel all over the world? And finally, when I think of why RAM, there's something that's going on in Europe. God is stirring them once again. Any of y'all go through experiencing God years ago? Blackaby. Remember what he said. You see where God is working and you join him. I'm going to tell you, God is working in Europe once again. And while that door of opportunity is open, we don't know how long it'll be open. While the door of opportunity is open, we need to run with all our power to reach these people who are now receptive. All over Europe, we are having more requests from countries. The Macedonian cries, won't you come over and help us as our name gets out there? Bulgaria, we're about to go to Bulgaria. You didn't talk about Macedonia. Macedonia working with the Muslims. And it just goes on and on. People are crying, would you? We see your training. We see what you're doing. Would you come over and help us? And we want to help. But the reality is, we need more prayer partners. We need more giving. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart that you are going to be praying and helping us fulfill the Great Commission in Europe. Any questions that you might have about me or Christy Kivu? He could have gone in a lot more about the persecution, about his wife. He could have, didn't have time. Any other questions for us? Okay, may I close in prayer? Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for Danville Baptist Church, and I thank you for the leaders that you have placed here. I thank you for these dear, sweet Christians, and how from Brother Jack I've heard for many years how mission-minded they are, and I thank you. I know that's because you have placed that desire for them to be mission-minded in their hearts. I thank you that you've led Joe David now to be the senior pastor here. I pray for your blessings upon him, upon his family. I pray for your blessings upon this church. And I ask God for an outpouring of your Spirit upon everyone here, that we might see a great and mighty revival, even start here in Danville and spread all throughout Alabama, all across the United States, and all across this globe. Our country and our world needs Jesus Christ. Oh God, would you have mercy? Oh God, would you grant grace? And may you start right here with your mighty work. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, I'm going to let that be our benediction. I know these guys will hang around. If you got any questions about their future trips, if you're interested in Israel, going there, if you're interested in going one of the other trips to Spain or to Italy, something like that, stick around. There's a monthly email, monthly, right? Monthly update, I get it. I think it's monthly on RAM. So if you're putting money into the Acts 1:8, you're giving to RAM as long as you're not designating it every week to something else. So if you want to just keep up to date on what all they're doing, then stick around, and Christian can probably give you the information on that. Thank you for being here, and hope to see you all back Wednesday night. Don't forget, you can talk to Mandy if you need to sign up for anything like that. They'll be down front for a few minutes if you want to come talk to them.